You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Friday, January 29th, and we've got a lot to talk about. Art Rooney, the Steelers owner, spoke. That's right, he's talking about Ben Roethlisberger, Mike Tomlin, all of it. I've got Jenna Harner. We spoke about it. We talked about it all throughout this show. The things that Art Rooney said about Ben Roethlisberger's future, the things that Ben Roethlisberger said in response to what Art Rooney said, and what Art Rooney said about Mike Tomlin. All of that and more, all discussed right here on today's show. Let's get into it. All right, everybody. Y'all know what it is. It's Friday on the Locked On Steelers podcast. That means we got our great person, Jenna Harner, WPXI, Channel 11, right here on the show. Jenna, a lot of stuff happened on Thursday that we got to talk about. Art Rooney spoke. We're going to get into all of that. And it's just wild. You've had a wild week because you cover all the sports. The Penguins GM is gone and all this other stuff. I just want to make sure, are you all right after all this?
We're doing well. It has been a crazy couple days, and I feel like crazy is a little word for it, but it's one of those like, hey, we were getting a little, things were too quiet around here. Clearly things had to happen. We needed things to talk about in the Pittsburgh sports landscape. So why not have all of this Steelers stuff and the fact that Jim Rutherford resigns? Just why not have all that happen over the course of 24, 48 hours? It's great.
Agreed. It's just insane how fast this all this stuff has developed here in Pittsburgh. But I look at this and I see the big thing that everyone's going to talk about is Ben Roethlisberger. And that was one of the main things that Art Rooney addressed in his call with reporters in this. Art Rooney said, and now to recap, going into this offseason, I said this the night they lost to the Browns, like Ben cannot make the money that he's scheduled to make for this team to move forward. He's just not that guy. And Art Rooney says the following. He says that he wants Ben Roethlisberger to be back next year, but there will have to be significant concessions for that to happen with the cap situation, that since he's a $41.2 million cap hit. And here's his quote. I think we'd like to see Ben back for another year if that can work. But as we've said, there's a lot of work to be done to see if that can happen. There may need to be a decision made for that to happen. There's other more decisions that need to be made for that to happen. But he said that, a few things here, he said that, you know, that Ben Roethlisberger, you know, they've talked to him about this and that he knows about this. And he also said that Art Rooney said that if we don't go with Ben, we got to go somewhere else. Another quote here said, if Ben was not around, that they'd have to look at free agency or look at their quarterback room and add somebody to the room in the off season. So it's clear where they are with Ben Roethlisberger. But then, so everyone was wondering, well, would Ben even go for that? Because he's scheduled to make a whole bunch of money. Why would he turn that down? Well, sourced from Jerry Dulac and Ed Bouchette, they got texts from Ben. They said they've spoken with Ben Roethlisberger. And that him and his agent, Ryan Tolner, Roethlisberger says, I don't care about my pay at all this year, which, Jenna, that's huge.
That's ridiculous. To hear a quarterback say that, let alone a quarterback like Ben Roethlisberger say that, I think says a couple things, but I think it says most of all that he just wants to come back and play and prove that the end of this past season was not the quarterback he is, and that's not the way that he wants to go out. That's how I read that immediately.
Yeah, and Ryan Tolner says his agent says, is another quote to Jerry Dulac, Ben knows that he has more left, but having key players back like Pouncey will be important. Ben's contract won't hold things up. We told him immediately after the season we will make any necessary adjustment to help their cap situation in 2021. I mean, here's the thing, Jenna. The Steelers going into this offseason were based off the estimates of where we think the salary cap will be, who knows where it will actually be. The estimates say they would be $34 million over the cap. With Vance McDonald retiring, that takes away about $5 million off. They'd be at $29-ish million left. If Marquise Pouncey retired, that'd be, knock it down another $8 million to about $21-ish million, maybe a little bit less because of some of the change left over. But, you know, you'd get to that point. The question for really for Ben is how much is he willing to give up? Because in his money, in his contract right now, $22 million of the dollars that are allotted against this year's cap space are dead. Can't be done with. They're stuck there. But $19 million are free. It's crazy to think if they can move a great ton of that space, that's going to open up so many doors for the Steelers to make moves.
It opens up avenues, and avenues that they might not or didn't, at least in the initial part of this, think that we're going to be there. Mm-hmm. And I think we've talked about all season, who are the piece or all, yeah, all season and kind of now leading into the offseason, who are the pieces they need to keep? Who are the guys that they need to make sure that this team can bring back and can pay and can give those salaries to? If this is a situation here where some of that money opens up, this could be a big step for this team in terms of getting guys that they want to stay, but also getting guys, potentially bringing some more people in, depending on who stays and who goes type of thing, that could, you know, be big impact players. This was a situation I think the Steelers didn't think they were going to be in. And the fact that Ben is saying, look, I don't care about my pay. I just want to be here for at least another year. I mean, I think he wants to have some sort of, you know, be able to go out not on his terms, yes, but also just be able to go out on not the Cleveland Browns game that we saw.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, and it seems like he wants certain guys around. The fact that they mentioned Pouncey by name is very interesting. I still think Pouncey would be on the way out. The only way that could be seen is if he also takes a huge pay cut, because part of getting the math to work for Ben to stick around is also getting rid of Pouncey, because he's one part of the big weight. Now, here's the thing is that, Who else has Ben talking about staying? Is he talking about Juju? Because Juju would be a ton of money that would have to be thrown into this situation. Yeah. I don't know what all could happen, but I do know if Ben was serious about this, and we'll get to this in the third segment of the show, there are a lot of different things the Steelers would be able to afford to do now that maybe would give them the kind of depth that they haven't been able to use because they've been straddled with a huge cap. And for the record, Ben's never took less money in his career. He's moved money. He's restructured. He said, we're going to push this down the line. But this was supposed to be the end of the line here. This was where all that money was getting pushed to, which is why it was $41.2 million of a cap hit. And for him to say this, Jenna, this is something else for me. This is the kind of stuff Tom Brady was doing back in the mid to late 2000s that helped the Patriots keep reloading.
That's exactly what this feels like to me. And I hate to kind of point towards the Patriots, but this is that situation where Tom Brady said, look, I want you guys to be able to build around me. And granted, Brady at that point was at a lot different stage in his career in my eyes than Ben is at this point in his career. But that was a situation. That's why New England was able to thrive, or part of the reason why they were able to thrive the way they were, is because Brady said, look, I don't need to be making this much money. Pay my teammates more. Pay the guys that want to be here to keep them here. Bring in new guys that you want to like surround me with to make us better as a team. I that does seem really intriguing to me. And also, maybe I'm taking this on another tangent too. I've been seeing some things too. Maybe this is... So does this seem, I guess, to you in your mind, does this seem like Ben potentially wanting to stay here for not just 1 year, but a couple more years and say, hey, I'll push it off for a couple more years? Maybe that's how I'm reading it. Maybe salary things are still a little dicey in my eyes, but does it seem like that in that sense?
No, I agree. I said before, the move here would be to extend Ben Roethlisberger for even two more years on top of next year. So give him three more years to play on your team. And what you could do is, because they have so much cap space in the two seasons after this next one, they could push part of it to the second season and the part of it to the third season. And then that would say, hey, you're still going to get this money. So technically he wouldn't even take the pay. You're getting this money, but just we're spreading it out much more because we need to. If you want to win, if you want to have a shot at a Super Bowl, we got to invest because the offensive line needs work. We need a running back. We need depth on defense in case those injuries pop up like they did. We need to keep some of the guys that we're about to lose to free agency. And who knows what those guys will be. I have a hard time still seeing Juju and Bud Dupree, both who would command a ton of money on free agency. I saw John Clayton from formerly from ESPN come out and say he expects Bud Dupree to make $6 million in the open market. And when that tweet was out there, Bud just dropped a whole bunch of laughing emojis under that. And I was like, yeah, I agree. That's a joke. Anyone that sees Bud Dupree now, again, who knows what this market will be like? Maybe the salary cap's low or something, but I'm sorry. A dude who had double digit sacks 2 years ago. And then this year he had 8 sacks in 10 games. I'm sorry. That edge rusher gets paid.
100%. That's what, I mean, we know what teams need. We know what they're looking for. The fact that Bud Dupree is who he is and was performing that way before he got injured. I know there's some questions about how players come back from injury. That's just always the way it is. Excuse me. That's just always the case. Yeah. He's going to get paid without a doubt. And it's going to be, hey, are the Steelers going to keep him? Are they going to pay him that money? Is this something that, again, if Ben decides to take and restructure his contract in the way that he may, this might be something, hey, I want him to stay. I want him to be able to make the money that he's going to make. We'll see what happens.
Absolutely. I think it's a big move. This could be a big game changer when it comes to this offseason that I wasn't totally expecting. I thought the Steelers would have to play hardball with Ben and he might not be willing to come down from it. But this would change so much for this team. We'll go over what those changes could be in the third segment. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Art Rooney also spoke on Tomlin. And he said some things that y'all better hear because I done said it before. So when I said it, you can ignore me. But when the owner says it, you better listen. What did he say? Well, find out after this. But first, a message from our friends at TurboTax. You're unique and so are your taxes. TurboTax Live has experienced tax experts who listen to you, learn about your unique tax situations, and answer your questions. And on top of all of that, they can do your taxes from start to finish. Maybe you started investing and want some reassurance from an expert that you're doing things right. Maybe you're now self-employed and need some expert advice on what qualifies as a home office deduction. Maybe you'd rather have an expert file your taxes for you so you can focus on what matters most. No matter what your situation is, TurboTax Live experts can answer your questions, give tax advice, and review your tax return before you file, or even do it all for you. TurboTax Live gives you confidence that your uniquely you taxes are done right. Intuit TurboTax Live. File with the help of an expert, or let an expert file for you. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious person and helps someone lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat during the day. Built Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, but high-protein and high-fiber, and they're great for a keto diet. Instead of when you're tired and hungry at work and you need a boost to get through the day, instead of going to the vending machine and getting those cupcakes, or those Pop-Tarts, or those potato chips, get something healthy like a Built Bar. It'll fill you up, taste great, and get you through the rest of your day with the energy that you need. And Built Bar comes in 18 amazing different flavors. 6 of those new flavors are caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. You can get all those flavors by going to their website right now at BuiltBar.com. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for $10 off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Jenna Harner from WPXI, Channel 11 in Pittsburgh. Jenna, Art Rooney also spoke on the other big name in Pittsburgh with the Steelers, and that's, of course, Mike Tomlin. And that's, you know, everyone all every year, if the Steelers don't win the Super Bowl, which they haven't since 2008, the head is called for Mike Tomlin. Get rid of him. He's a bum. You need to fire him. He's the reason they always lose, blah, blah, blah. So people, you know, were clamoring as soon as the Browns game, even before the Browns game is over, this is despicable. The coaches didn't have them prepared. And Coach Tomlin obviously needs to go. His message is falling flat. Well, Art Rooney said this on that. He said, Art Rooney says, we'll address Mike's contract as time goes on this year, but I feel confident saying he'll be our coach into the future. So anybody that thought he was going anywhere, and I know some people are like, well, we knew because the Steelers never fire. And I'm like, well, yes, but that's why the Steelers are the Steelers. But then to go on, when asked about the playoff loss in Cleveland, and this would be the opportunity for him to say, well, I need Mike to step up here and I need Mike to step up there. Art Rooney says, quote, when you turn the ball over four times in the first half, we didn't give ourselves a chance. I don't see how you can attribute that to coaching or preparation. We didn't come out flat or anything like that. And to me, that says that clearly this is about the mistakes made on the field. And once the offense was running the way it was designed, they scored points. But it was Pouncey snapping the ball over Ben's head and Ben throwing four interceptions in the game. Three of them came in the first 20 minutes of play. Jenna, I swear I've been saying this for 2 weeks, however long they've been out the playoffs, but I'm just like, if the owner's saying it, it just seems like maybe it's right.
It just, all of this, being an outsider, mm-hmm. not covering the Steelers team until this season, and knowing what they do as an organization, again, from the outside, and now coming in and covering them on a daily basis, this just, it makes me smile a little bit. It really does, because what coach, go out there, name me a coach that you want right now more than Mike Tomlin to put into your system that's available. Not a Belichick,
not Andy Reid, not,
Go pick a coach right now, bring them into the organization and tell me that they are going to do a better job than Mike Tomlin. Really? Yeah. That part to me, they've struggled for the last couple of years. That mm-hmm. is, and it's funny too, because again, looking at the different contrasts of struggles, this is a team, this is an organization, this is a fan base, this is a city that demands success, and rightfully so, with all of the success it's had over the last handful of years, and just looking at the franchises in this city as a whole, this, like, going 500 is considered pretty much the equivalent of going like a 3-win season. That mm-hmm. is reality for this fan base, which I love, because they hold their team to such a high standard, which the coaching staff, which the organization holds itself to. And this is also, we're talking about a 12-win team this season.
Yeah, seriously.
This is also, I mean, yes, there were so many issues. I know that's the thing. Mike Tomlin was not the problem in this loss, in this playoff loss, like you said, like you were, yelling from the hilltops, because rightfully so, that's exactly the case. It's not this team. It was Pouncey snapping the ball over your head. Mike Tomlin always talks about controlling what you can control. How does Mike Tomlin have control over that?
Exactly.
Just saying.
That's the exact point. And here's the problem. Whenever this conversation starts, well, the mistakes were made on the field. Well, the coaching is what gets the mistakes on the field. No, it's not. At some point, you have to accept the coaching. And at some point, you have to make the plays yourself on the field. Chuck Knoll even said, the greatest coach in Steelers history, maybe the greatest coach of all time. He even said, whenever they asked him, what'd you do? It wasn't me. It was the players. I simply tell them to go out there and I tell them what to do. But if they don't make the critical plays in the critical moments, I'm not a great coach. And that's the bottom line here. And this is why, and I know that I'm not jumping down this rabbit hole, but this is why whenever people talk about Ben Roethlisberger versus Terry Bradshaw, why I always pick Terry Bradshaw, because in the playoff games, in the Super Bowls, in the drives that they needed to for him to come through and put the team on top, he did it so many times to get four Super Bowls. And Ben Roethlisberger, early in his career, he was the man when it came to clutch moments. And throughout the last 10 seasons, he's done it in certain spurts. But too many times in the conference championship games, in the first rounds of the playoffs, we've seen him turn the ball over a lot, not convert, even when you got superstar players on your side. And that has been the issue, I think, has been this team built a lot of what it did to get Ben Roethlisberger every weapon that he could afford, and it never came to fruition. And sometimes it's because Le'Veon Bell was hurt, Antonio Brown was hurt, Ben's shoulder was messed up, and that's a reality. But at the end of the day, when you go back and you look through those, it was always mistakes made on the field in very winnable situations. You know, that Browns game, Wesley Euler said on this podcast last week when he was on, he said, if the Steelers had just taken knees for three straight plays in those first four drives, they probably win the game because they don't turn the ball over. Yep. And And that's the whole thing there, is that they were, the mistakes on the field were that bad that forfeiting the drives might have yielded a win. That's where there's a line between coach. To me, there's always a line. If you're in a situation where no matter what you do, there's nothing going right. If there's never receivers open, if there's never a rushing lane, if there's no pressure from the defense at any point in the season, if the coverage never makes sense, you know, or if, you know, that's when you start looking at it. But when you go through and you say, okay, this guy just took the wrong alignment, or this guy, or Ben Roethlisberger didn't see his right guy, or Eric Ebron dropped a big third down conversion, that's not coaching. That's just the realities of a limitation of people playing the game of football. Your team can't be perfect. Even the teams that think that they're perfect, they ain't perfect.
No, not at all. And I think we saw a lot of that exposed. That's kind of looking back on that game, those moments in particular, we saw a lot of that exposed. And it's not coaching. I think everybody wants to point to like, oh, it's this player's mistake, but this coach had a part in it. Like, football is such a puzzle piece of things where it's like, okay, what contributing factors contributed to this loss? But this isn't a giant coaching oversight by any means. This is players making mistakes and momentum kind of carrying things over, that one mistake leads to another, that leads to another. And I mean, they stopped the bleeding. They did.
They did. Yeah.
It didn't help until they were down 28-0.
Right.
But Mike Tomlin, I don't know. I just look at other coaching organizations across the league and like, look at what it takes to get a coach fired. And Mike Tomlin is nowhere near that, at least right now.
Right. I mean, and again, I point to this, to the people that call for firings. Look at some of the organizations that have gotten rid of their guys when they were still going, when they were still rolling. You know, Tom Coughlin with the New York Giants. You know, when the Giants let him go, I think they had 1 year in the playoffs, and then after that, they have tanked, and it just year after year, just very bad. And then even other organizations, the Lions, Jim Caldwell got them to a doggone playoff game. Yep. And then they fired him, and look where they at. Now they got a guy that wants to bite kneecaps off. Like that's the journey that you set yourself on when you get rid of a coach that at least puts together a winning organization. I mean, Marty Schottenheimer, who never won a Super Bowl, but he always made his teams competitive. You got rid of him with the Chargers, and where you been since?
Yep. And that's the thing. Like Steelers fans are saying, okay, fire Mike Tomlin. What do you think will happen? A new coach is not going to come in and immediately continue the success that's been built here and build upon it within a year, 2 years. You see a lot of retraction. You see teams going down, you know, their records dropping. You see them losing players. Like, it's just, I don't know. What is it? It's not the phrase, don't know. No, there are other phrases that I'm trying to think of that it's just not going to run. But like, you don't know what you have till it's gone.
There you go. You don't have it to. And I agree entirely. And for those who say, well, they've gotten it right the last two times. Yeah, because it was just two times. If they did it every year, every 3 years when it didn't work, then you would start to get the bad coach. That's because they've been patient. When Bill Cowher had losing seasons, they still extended him. And people were saying why. And the Rooneys were like, because he still has the right ideas here. He just needs the players behind him. And then you got the players behind him. Oh, he fell short of a Super Bowl. Then he won a Super Bowl. Then he retired. And I think that's the thing that Steelers have. If Tomlin feels like he's ready to go, that's a whole different story. But it's apparent that from what Art Rooney wouldn't be saying he's the coach of the future if Mike Tomlin told him, hey, I'm feeling like I'm burning out here. And granted, they were the Cowher and Tomlin in two very different places. Cowher's, you know, he lost his wife the year before. So that was, you know, that was very tragic, and that kind of changed things. And then he rotated into being in media. You know, Mike Tomlin, I don't think he's in that situation. You know, he's got sons that are in college and playing football. People are saying maybe he wants to go watch them, and maybe, but that's his choice. But it ain't going to be because they feel like he's an inadequate coach that's making falling short. So for me, Art Rooney validated what I've been saying this whole time. And I know people are going to still say, you go disagree with Art Rooney II and the Rooney families who have six Super Bowls and built maybe the greatest organization in pro football. So there you go right there. We're going to take one more quick break. When we come back, we got to talk about another aspect that Rooney talked about with building the team forward, what he wants to focus on and to build with the team, and with Ben's supposedly, maybe what the cap space might be opened up with Ben, what couldn't the Steelers actually do? All that right after this. But first, a word from our friends at betonline.ag. The number one place to place your bets is betonline.ag. That's the place that we know and trust in the Locked On Podcast Network. You can sign up for betonline.ag with a free account. And if you enter the promo code LOCKEDON Locked On, again, that's LOCKEDON Locked On, all capital letters and all one word. If you enter that promo code, you get a 50% bonus on your first deposit. And you know, with the Super Bowl coming up, there's a ton of bets to be had. Not just the final score, not just who's not just how many points they're scored, but who scores first, who scores last, what's the coin toss. All of those things are available right on betonline.ag. And again, you get a 50% bonus on your first deposit if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, all capital letters, all one word. Get in on the action. Get off the sidelines. Join betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Jenna Harner of WPXI Channel 11 in Pittsburgh. So, Jenna, another thing that Rooney said, and he said a few other things, but one of the things that he emphasized is that what has to happen with the Steelers moving forward is that they have to emphasize the running game, and there has to be a commitment to the running game. He says, quote, "I don't know that we've always had that." And I certainly agree. Even in the tail end years of Le'Veon Bell's career with the Steelers, especially in 2017, which was his last year with the Steelers, you saw they were more willing to use him in the passing game than to commit to pounding people with the run. And It's safe to say this team's last two playoff wins were when the running game was a serious feature. Le'Veon Bell and their last playoff win was against the Chiefs on the road, the only team to beat Andy Reid coming off a bye in the playoffs. Le'Veon Bell ran for 200 yards, and that was a huge part of that. The week before, the offense came out to a hot start, you know, with two touchdown passes, but when the Dolphins were trying to battle back, Le'Veon Bell took over. He carried the team through the second half. And it doesn't need to be Le'Veon Bell, of course, because, you know, he's you know, with the Chiefs and not even playing, but it does need to be a sense of the running game that has to return and become a dominant force. And that's what used to be Steelers football, Jerome Bettis, Franco, Arizona, all these big guys. It doesn't need to be a big guy, but the fact that running the ball has to be part of the future. And I agree with what Rooney's saying here.
Yeah, it has to be. Look at the Chiefs. But like, there's your answer for me. Yep. Teams that have strong run games and have that balanced offensive attack, that's where you're going to have success. That's what success is in the NFL, especially right now. You need that balance. I feel like I keep going back to the first Ravens game. It's like vivid in my head where, yep, Steelers had a chance to put it away. They had a chance to run out the clock, just needed to get the first down, and they found themselves punting because they could not get the run game going in that situation. And Minka Fitzpatrick had to break up that last attempt right at the end there. Like, that's such a visual for me for this team. And you need to have those situations where, like you mentioned in that Dolphins game, where it's like, hey, we can go to the run game when we need to. We know we have a solid passing game. We know that Ben Roethlisberger, when he's accurate, when he can complete the ball, can get the ball downfield, can find guys like Juju, guys like Deontay, can get those first downs that way. But you need to have that balance. And I keep looking to, you got to have that creativity. That was something I think Randy Finkner lacked a little bit. And we saw little bits and pieces of influence of Matt Canada. How much influence is he going to have now that he is the full offensive coordinator? I'm going to be very intrigued. But you need that balanced attack, and you need that run game if you want to have a lot of success and if you want to make it past the wild card game year after year.
I agree entirely. There were two games in which the Steelers scored 38 points this year, the most that they did it. Both times they ran for a lot of yards, 136 yards against the Eagles, 129 yards against the Browns. And they closed out the Texans game with a strong running game with 169 yards. I brought this up with Adam Crowley yesterday on the show, Jenna, talking about how with Matt Canada, part of his challenge will be to get back where the running game was averaging over 130 yards per game through the Steelers' first six games. And then they stopped using motion. They stopped getting creative with the way they did things. And that led to, you know, needing the passing game and leaning on it so much, and then not being able to get anything going in the running game. Had they maintained the average that they had at the beginning of the season through those first six games, they would have finished eighth in the NFL in rushing, in average rushing yard per game. That would have been exactly where you wanted this team to be to find the balance. And they were doing great at that point of the season. But when they worked away from that balance, that's where it has to be. So I agree. We both agree on Rooney's point here. But now the question is, with Ben Roethlisberger, let's estimate here how much he might give up here, because Ben Roethlisberger, you look at his contract again, as it stands right now, his cap number is $41,250,000. If you look at, according to overthecap.com, $22,250,000 of that is dead money and it's locked into this year. But $19 million of that can be used as cap savings, that if they cut him or anything happened, they could, you know, they can move that money around. If they were to take off, you know, if he's serious about this, this isn't just $10 million. We're talking $15 to $18 million. Like, take this down as much as you can.
Yeah.
That would get them as really close to the point where now you're like, okay, now we're almost, again, we're assuming that Vance McDonald's retired. He is retired. So that's $5 million off the books. And then Marquise Pouncey's $8 million come off the books. You know, maybe Vince Williams, that's another place that I could look at the team trying to save money, because he would save them about $4 million. But they could make moves there and then also extend current players like maybe Steven Nelson, who he has $8.2 million in cap savings. They could maybe cut that in half and say, hey, Steve, we're going to extend you a couple of years. We're going to push some of this money down the line so we can make, and you can do things like that. But where are the priorities with this new money is the real question. And again, Jenna, I guess first, where would you see as a realistic number to say, hey, Ben, we're going to take this money off of this year, and then seeing that as being usable for the Steelers?
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's interesting, and like salary, I've been like dipping my toes in the water of this. So if I'm totally off base here, please feel free to be like, no, that's not it.
You're fine.
But like realistically, like if they take $15 million off, if Ben says, like, as you said, I don't care about what I get paid this year. We know that he wants to play and he wants to finish out his career, depending on however many years it is from now, like, you know, finish it off on a solid note. So if they take out $15 million, that puts them in a really good position. Mm-hmm. I don't know the reality of that, if it's going to be 15, if it's going to be 10, if it's going to be closer to 18, but that gives them a lot more options than what they had. I feel like we were so locked in on, okay, this is Ben's money. Is he going to stay? Is he going to go? Is he going to retire? Obviously those things like Vance retiring, potentially Pouncey retiring, does help, but this opens a lot of things for them to maybe go out. I don't know. I'm always so interested to see, like, where do you go versus like free agency versus draft and all that. Right. But a running back is a huge priority here, because the reality of it is, I don't think that James Conner stays here. Maybe that's just me, but Benny Snell is a great option. I think he still needs to continue to develop, but you need that true number one guy. I don't know if Snell is exactly that yet. Not saying that he can't be, but I don't know if he's that right now for next year when James Conner goes somewhere else.
And something else that Rooney said, he said, you know, on the running game, it's something that we need to address. He said, you can't finish 32nd in the league in rushing yards and expect to have a successful season. And that's where they are. And as much as people love James Conner, and I'm a James Conner supporter, he beat cancer. He's a Pitt alum. You know, he's a battler. You want him on your side, you know, in a dogfight, but he's just not a starting running back in the NFL. He's a good guy to come off the bench. He's a good guy to give you spell yards. And like in 2018, when he made the Pro Bowl, I said a lot. I was like, a lot of this is because people don't know what they're looking for from him. And they were looking, because they're used to playing the Steelers with Le'Veon Bell. And then after the teams adjusted to what he did, that made it a lot easier to stop him. Now, here's the other thing here, Jenna, is that the approach to running back could be twofold. They could still try to sign a guy and draft a guy and then get rid of, you know, they have Anthony McFarland, Jalen Samuels, and Benny Snell. We ain't seen enough out of any of them to really justify keeping around. Now, maybe Anthony McFarland, because this was his rookie year and maybe he needs to adjust. But Benny Snell didn't show a whole lot. Jalen Samuels sure didn't show a whole lot. I think the Steelers would be willing to add to this room. And when you look at the free agent running backs, and I talked about this with Dean about 2 weeks ago, he really wants Mike Davis for the guy that filled in for Christian McCaffrey for the Panthers. But I mean, you got players like Kenyon Drake, you know, veteran guys that could come in the room and establish themselves. And then you could get a rookie to work with them that could reestablish this room. And Kenyon Drake, Todd Gurley, you know, Mike Davis, Leonard Fournette, who we just saw, he's in the Super Bowl with the Buccaneers, and seeing how that's going. The Rams are going to lose Malcolm Brown next year. And again, another thing that I talked to Dale Lally about for DKPittsburghSports.com, you know, where I primarily work, there's also the possibility that with the cap being lowered this year, there's going to be even more cuts. Like, we're going to see surprise, like, whoa, that guy got let go? Because teams, a lot of teams are hurting in the salary cap.
Yep. And teams need to save money and teams need to find these options. And that could be a huge, you're right. I think there could be one or two of those big surprises where we're like, oh my goodness, like guys that you wouldn't expect, these, you know, second grade running backs that are really, really solid, but just are behind, you know, a big star guy, wherever they are. You never know. That could be an option too. But I think you also, and I'm sure you're going to get to this in some way too, but like the offensive line, you have to, in order to have a solid run game and be able to protect your quarterback, that offensive line needs to be up to speed and needs to be, you know, solid in all fronts. And I think there are some gaps there that the Steelers need to fill for sure.
Absolutely. And you look at the offensive line, you look at some of the guys that are out there, you know, Alex Mack is another, you know, he's another old veteran. I don't think they'd go that route because he's 36 years old. But you could try to look into some of the other guys out there that have been bouncing around. I do think center might be a place to look into in the draft, but albeit there's no first round center that I would draft at 24. I would struggle to draft one at 48 or whatever the Steelers number in the second round is. But you know, maybe you look at the tackle positions and you say, okay, well, maybe we can look into guys there, because you know, maybe there's a Cam Robinson that you want to see, and maybe he can do better. But you're right, these need to be investments. And here's the other thing: they could use this just on their guys coming back, because that's what could be the big deal here. Is Pittsburgh, the Steelers, they have so many players that are going out into free agency. You know, and I'm not saying Bud Dupree, because Bud's really expensive, but this is how you keep around a Cameron Sutton. This is how maybe you re-sign a Tyson Alualu. Maybe re-sign Zach Banner, you know, because I don't think teams are going to be looking to pay him a whole lot of money after he got injured before he could really show people that he was a starting tackle in the NFL. That might be the ticket to the Steelers. And then, you know, if you want to get crazy, if Ben saves them a lot of money and other guys help us too, and they make aggressive cuts, maybe they open the door to bring back a Juju, or, you know, I'm not saying Bud Dupree. I think that's just way over their heads. But maybe it opens other opportunities to keep guys that you need around, and guys that can play those roles, and you can still sign a Sean Davis for cheap and make him like your second or third depth safety guy. And then you can go out in free agency and see who gets let go from other teams, make decisions from there. And then you go into the NFL draft saying, all right, we didn't sign a running back, we didn't sign a tackle, or we didn't sign a center. These are the guys that we go after and build this roster from.
Yeah, I'm going to be really intrigued just to see kind of the direction this organization takes with the moves that they make and how they do that. But I think, like you said, that's a really good opportunity for guys to potentially be like, hey, you know, look at the options we will provide you with if you stay here.
And that's the thing. And another thing that Rooney said, he's like, he felt like he would like to have this 2020 team back. And have it be healthy, because he felt like a big part of this was losing Devin Bush, losing Bud Dupree, not having Joe Hayden in the playoffs. And granted, he'd want to see, you know, an improvement in the running game. But I agree, if you took this defense and made it healthy and brought it back next year, and you brought a running game with next season, that would be an exciting Steelers team. You know, I mean, heck, this team was exciting to watch. You know, again, they, like you said, they won 12. They were 12-4 at the end of the season. It wasn't like they were some bums. They fell flat in the end because their passing game fell apart, and they had stopped committing, you know, trying to commit themselves to the concepts that got them success in the run game. And again, that's because when Matt Canada is just a quarterback coach and hits his ideas that are being added, sprinkled into the playbook, they're just wrinkles. They're not the whole playbook. Now that they are the playbook, maybe you see some of that.
And hopefully, I mean, we're looking, I don't know, I just like watching some of these. Ben Roethlisberger is not a Josh Allen, a Lamar Jackson, a Baker Mayfield. He's not that young guy. But watching what those teams, what those coordinators, what those coaching staffs did with those quarterbacks, and I feel like I tweeted all the time, like, oh my gosh, this trickeration, like watching some of those. And again, it's not to be used all the time by any means, but watching those plays, those creative plays that we don't always see all the time, just to shake things up a little bit. I think that little wrinkle is going to be huge, because how many times, I think I can maybe count on one finger how many times we saw like a crazy, ridiculous trickeration play from the Steelers offense this season.
No, I agree. It's, and you saw sometimes when they tried it and it didn't work out. And that's the, I agree. There needs to be a better sense there. And again, you know, I wrote this for DK Pittsburgh Sports in my Carter's classroom. The jet sweeps, they were running the Claypool. And then just the idea of those jet sweeps scaring the defense and then opening up holes for James Conner in the middle. Those type of balance things need to happen more for the Steelers team. I think they can. I agree with Jenna. They need to invest in the offensive line. A center and an offensive tackle are a must, I think, in this offseason. And that's even if you keep Pouncey and he comes back for the cheap, because you don't know where his head's at. Ben's saying he'll take whatever money. I'm not sure Pouncey's in that same situation. But, you know, maybe that happens. Maybe that doesn't. Either way, you invest in those two. You get yourself a running back. You get some depth back on defense. You get maybe some depth to help on offense. This team could still compete, but it will take an identity change. We're going to have a whole offseason to talk about that identity change and what they need to be. But we've covered a lot today, and I'm so glad to have Jenna Harner here to help me cover it. So thanks again, Jenna, for your time. We appreciate you a lot here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Please let people know they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
Well, thank you as always for having me. It's always such a pleasure. You can follow me on Twitter at JennaHarner11, Instagram at Jenna_Harner, on WPXI pretty much every day, 6, 10, 11. We're doing a ton of stuff. We're always talking Penguins right now because they're the big thing. Steelers, off-season moves, Pirates stuff, pretty much everything Pittsburgh sports, Pitt basketball, all the fun stuff.
All the fun stuff. You can also get all the fun stuff at dkpittsburghsports.com. We partner with Channel 11. There it is. We also cover Steelers, Pirates, Penguins, Pitt basketball, Pitt football, Duquesne, Penn State, all that jam. And all the stuff. If you want to read about Art Rooney and what he said, Dale Lawley's covering it. And Dale Lawley's one of the most experienced guys out there. He's right out there with the Jerry Dulacs, the Ed Bouchettes, the guys who have been there for a long time. He's got a lot to cover on this aspect. Read what his takes. I learn a lot from Dale. So go to dkpittsburghsports.com and check out the things that he says. Become a subscriber there, and you'll see more of my great work too on that. And you can follow me on Twitter at Carter Critiques. If you follow me, I'll follow you back. I'm also on Instagram with the same handle. And if you're enjoying the Locked On Steelers podcast, please subscribe to us. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere podcasts are hosted. Leave us a 5-star review with a positive comment on Apple Podcasts. Y'all, it really does make a difference to get the word out there. Thanks so much for listening to the show. Hope everyone has a great weekend. We'll be back in your ears Monday, getting you ready for Super Bowl week.